this time yesterday I was in Gaziantep, right in the south of Turkey on the border of Syria, and that was the base I was using to go over into Syria. And today I'm walking the dog, having just dropped the little boy off at preschool, and it's kind of back with a bump. It's also very easy to kind of compartmentalise what you've seen. And I just had a chat with one of the preschool teachers and showed them a video clip that I shot on my phone inside a refugee classroom, where you've got five children sitting on, you know, space for really two, like a small bench, squeezed in behind desks. But it's not like they need the space to write with. As she noticed, they've got no materials, they've got no paper or pens. There's one girl that did, who I think was from the village and her parents had supplied that. And I just looked around the preschool here and it is jam-packed with stimulus, with posters, educational books and educational toys and sandpits and water play areas. And it was just so, so very different. You probably could have stripped 50% out of the room and there still would have been enough for everybody. And it's kind of sobering to think those kids rely very much on their ingenuity with whatever they can find to turn into a toy in their imaginations, and some very inspirational volunteer teachers who, in some ways, you know, risk their lives. These places tend to be targets, which just makes you feel sick to the stomach at the thought of it. And the songs they sing, how very, very different. Songs of protest in one place and songs of learning and the alphabet. And although I did hear a rendition of the alphabet, which was pretty good, in the Syrian school. Just caught up with last night's edition of Newsnight. I watched it on the iPlayer this morning, and there's a lot of discussion between whether or not to deliver arms, and the only reason why there is a umming and an ahhing is because it may be too late to do it safely. I think that if the Free Syrian Army, the very moderate and, as somebody said, vetted groups and brigades within the Free Syrian Army were given assistance of some sort, and that may only be training, you know, it should always be a last resort to arm anybody, but that last resort should come before it's too late to be effective. There are so many groups now operating within Syria who have ulterior motives, in some ways motives driven from exterior sources. I learned so much about the different levels of Muslim, in the way that there are some people who just think, probably more Western than any Muslim I've met over in the UK. In when I say Western in thinking, and I'm not saying that drinking is a good thing, because obviously the results of drinking, you know, our national health. Come here. Dog's getting a bit lost. But their clerics would decipher and translate the Quran in a way that, just in my very Western mind, seemed a lot clearer and a lot less restrictive in some ways, whereby some of them will say, well, you know, when you die and go to heaven, there's going to be rivers of wine. Well, if rivers of wine are held in such high esteem as a reward for when you get into heaven, why not be allowed to enjoy that wine moderately now, as has been done for, you know, many thousands of years? And I just met some really incredible people who were fed up of years and years of protest, who just wanted it just desperately wanted the West to pay attention and assist them in removing the one man who is stopping any form of democracy leading to any potential freedom. And I don't know, you know, I came back feeling really hopeful, but I do feel a little bit disillusioned as to what the possibilities are politically. And I'm incredibly ignorant when it comes to both religion and politics. All I could see was the suffering of people, and that may be what needs to be the focus, this the alleviating of the suffering that's happening en masse, the millions of people who have, you know, become displaced. Because my grandparents were refugees, I guess. My grandfather from the Ukraine, and my grandmother, you know, leaving northern Italy, where she was a freedom fighter during the war, a partisan, and they both met in a refugee hostel in Coventry. And I think they actually met a little bit further north initially. I don't know. I need to get the finer details from my grandmother. And they have done, you know, they did really well for themselves. You know, my grandmother now, you know, kind of owns a very simple and basic house. And she worked solidly, sometimes two jobs her entire life, and contributed so much, I think. And, you know, I've got my mother's life and my life and my children's life to kind of thank for her being able to survive those times. And there was a lot of support, I believe. She had really hard times, but she would say that just being able to assimilate into society was enough support. So there was absolutely no reason why, with the right infrastructure in place, you know, this can't be the same story for so many people who at the moment are trapped between a dictator and a hard place. I've got so much, you know, audio and some more photos, and there's a lot of the photographs I still can't really publish. I think it would be too dangerous for the people involved. I kept, you know, the gory stuff actually off my Flickr account, and it wasn't because I thought it might be offensive to the eyes. It was because the people involved were recognisable, and I think it would be dangerous for them and their families, because this is a, you know, a technologically enabled state, and they have been using Facebook in particular to kill people. And there's a balance between showing people how horrible things are and increasing the danger for those that are still there and not in the comfort of my Cambridgeshire village, for example, and how very comfortable we are. It's, I used to come back from travelling India and places like that with a little bit of kind of reverse culture shock. You come back and you walk into a shop and there are things for sale, and you can just ask somebody and stuff gets done. And it is very strange, but it does wear off quickly, because this is the familiar for me. And I just want to make sure I remember. So I'll probably do a slightly longer piece, audio and photos and the video, some of the video I've got, to kind of punctuate my experiences in Syria, trying desperately, I guess, to share the situation out there. And just one of many, many humanitarian crises in the world right now. And yeah, maybe it'd be good to focus on one and see what can be done.